the critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Urriu. We are your TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. Each episode, we bring on a guest to discuss their top six shows of all time based on what we call the BFF criteria. With so much TV out there, we want to know, what are the best shows you've ever seen? What are your absolute favorite shows? And what are the shows that you would watch on a loop forever?
That's right. Each episode, our guests will pick two shows in each of the three BFF categories, those being their best, favorite, and forever shows, all while choosing from the three genres of TV, which are drama, comedy, and unscripted. So let's bring on our amazing guest for this episode. She is a chef, a host. You've seen her on Food Network's The Best Thing I Ever Ate. She's a regular guest on The Today Show, where she is also a recipe developer. She's also the host of the wonderfully fun series Breakfast with Besser on Food Network Kitchen. Please welcome my friend, Elena Besser.
What's happening, hi, people? How you doing?
How's it going?
Oh, it's good. I just did my weird I'm nervous voice, so hopefully that calms down a bit.
Now, are you nervous because, you know, did you have trouble putting together your list? Did you have trouble whittling it down? Like, how was the experience of preparing for you?
This experience was stressful because I personally have this weird thing where like shows mean a lot to me and I spend a ton of time watching television. However, I feel like after I'm done watching a show is like I blacked out almost and I'm like, oh no, I don't remember anything. And it was a weird experience because I'm like, okay, wait, what shows do I even like? What do I watch? Right. And then simultaneously, am I going to get judged because some of my stuff is a little cheesy.
This is a no judgment zone.
No judgment.
Thanks, guys.
No judgment zone.
I just want to be cool, but I also have to be myself.
Yeah, that's what we want. We want your real, true criteria. Like, you're not trying to impress anybody. You're just trying to be you.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Hell yeah. So also, Elena, so you are a chef.
Yes.
You are the first chef we've had on the show, so I'm very excited to see if we have Yeah.
Oh, it's an honor.
It's a different sort of creative perspective that we've had on the show before, so I'm really excited to kind of see how that influences your picks and how you look at shows as well.
Ooh, thank you. I'm excited to talk about it.
So before we get into your TV BFFs and the shows that made your criteria, we want to know a little bit more about kind of your overall TV watching history. So let's get started with you revealing your shows that were kind of in the mix for your best fave and forevers, but they didn't quite make the cut. So like they're not your BFFs, but they're like pretty good friends.
Okay, well, in honor of the second season coming out, The Sex Lives of College Girls, season one, just was a joy. It was nothing but a joy.
Oh, nice.
It's a kind of show that is tastefully raunchy, and I thought the acting in it was amazing. It showed such a raw and pure version of navigating school in a new place as a young woman who has tons of different desires, both personally and socially. And I also loved it because I think that as far as age is concerned, like when I watched the show, I texted my mom and she watched it and was like, this is such a funny show. And I just think it's rare to come across a show like this that really spans all ages. And Mindy Kaling wrote it, didn't she?
That's right. Yeah, she created it.
Yeah, like she wrote it and she, it's like it's her show.
What a talent.
I've really wanted to check it out.
You have to watch it. It's like very bingeable. So over the holiday season, highly recommend.
Awesome.
Elena, do you remember a scene where they're at like a, I think a frat party and there was like a really douchey, homophobic, tall, blonde frat guy?
Yes.
That's my friend Andre. He works at Space Station. We're colleagues.
No way. He's nicer in person, I hope.
He's so much nicer in person. Great. Shout out Andre if you're listening.
That's hilarious.
Okay. What else was close? What else just missed the cut?
Oh, man. Ted Lasso just missed the cut for me because I felt like a lot, it would be pretty popular and a lot of people probably talk about it.
Not as much as you think. We haven't had it on a criteria, only in a couple almost shows.
Yeah, I don't think it's been on a criteria.
No way. That show, I was going to talk about it in the like favorite shows because it was such a specific pandemic show for me. And I think the episode that always sticks with me, shocker, is the one where it's revealed he's the one that makes the shortbread. And
oh, yeah.
I'm always very attracted to food focused storytelling. Sure. And I thought that was such a tender moment that really humanized his character in a big way.
Yeah, big time. That was a great moment.
So fun to watch.
Yeah.
All right. What else? What else is on this almost list?
Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Wow. Ty Pennington moved that That's a bus.
First. That is a first, but also a cultural touchstone.
Cultural touchstone. Yeah.
It really is. And growing up, my I think I'm not alone in saying this, like families everywhere would get together on Sunday night and get ready for 7 p.m. when we would sit down and all watch the show together as a family. And I think that that's such a dying art in television. And for me, there is this nostalgia to it that I will always hold it very near and dear to my heart. And I think that it's just a feel good story is about helping individuals and hearing difficulties that make us human and coming together to provide positive change. Just really was a lovely thing to see growing up.
Yeah. Super feel good. Like, man, heartwarming.
It was like, it was a real family show.
What else? What else is close? If you have a couple more, let's list through the last few here.
Yeah. Somebody Feed Phil is also on my list.
Oh, the Netflix show.
Yes.
With Phil. So Phil is Phil Rosenthal, the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And what I love about that show is that he doesn't know anything about food and people criticize it for that. But at the same time, I think there's this charm to it because he really brings his family in. His brother is one of the camera operators and producers of the show. So he's the fourth wall is constantly broken. And I think it adds some nice humor. And then part of the show, too, in the first couple of seasons, he actually FaceTimes his parents who are in their like 80s and 90s and talks and like eat something that's of the space that he's traveling, the country that he's traveling in or the city he's in. And they talk about it together and have like a funny joke moment. And they're just like traditional old school Jewish parents. And as seasons have progressed, one of his parents actually passed away. So like, it's just really interesting seeing that. And I love the intro to it. And one day I would love to have a show that has a fun jingle at the beginning of it. The song is like, he's a happy, hungry man traveling all across the sea and the land. He's trying to understand the art of pasta, pork, chicken, and lamb. And it's just like a funny, kitschy, like, I'll go on and on, but I'm not going to, my voice, I don't want to pain everyone. But yeah, it's just, and the end of it's like, somebody feed Phil. It's just a funny, feel-good, great show that juxtaposes a curmudgeon-y, sweet Jewish man with really fine dining experiences all over the world.
What a sell. I love it.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, like, I'm sold. Checking it out.
I love it. We're getting a very strong, like, feel-good, heartwarming energy so far with these almost shows, I would say.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I wrote Righteous Gemstones in.
Oh, wow. Okay. Not quite as feel good, but super fucking fun.
It's so funny. It's just like belly aching laughs. And the cast is unbelievable. And I just have had the most fun watching it. I think that Edie Patterson is just like, I didn't really know of her until I watched the show. And her humor just is next level. They're so absurd and they're able to sell it really well. And I just think it's amazing.
Anything else before we jump to the BFFs?
Yeah. And then the last one I put on is Stranger Things.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, what a show.
It really was on the come up this last season because I was ready to write it off. And then this last season, I was like, wow, that was exhilarating.
Yeah. Like, who knew? I was worried that they would have run out of being able to make sure that the show is actually really entertaining and like I believe every moment of it in suspending my disbelief because they're just like monsters and, you know, all that jazz. It's been cool seeing the evolution of these kids growing up and being able to still be together to tell these stories. And that's something that has stood out to me.
Let's get into your BFF criteria. So a quick reminder, we asked you to pick two shows in each category, those shows being your best, favorite, and forever. Your best shows are the ones that are the shows you think are the most artistic, well-executed, just overall the best made shows you've ever seen. They should win all the awards, right? Your favorite shows are the ones that hold a place near and dear to your heart, mean something to you maybe more personally. And for the forever category, if in the afterlife you get to choose two shows to watch in order, from pilot to finale, no skips, over and over for infinity, what are those shows?
Okay, for each category, we had to choose from the three overall genres of TV, which we're defining as comedy, drama, and all things unscripted. And so unscripted can be anything from reality shows to documentary series to game shows, but there have to be multiple episodes, so there's no one-offs. And other than that, it can be anything. And there's no such thing as guilty pleasures here. We want to talk about all of it, okay? And the only other rule is that you can only double up on a genre in one of the three BFF categories. So if you were to pick two dramas in your best, then you can't double up genres in your faves or your forevers. So make sense?
Yeah.
Let's get into it. What is your first best show, Elena?
My first best show is the one and only Breaking Bad.
Wow. There goes the heartwarming.
Forget about it. Let's talk about vibes. Drugs.
I love it. Great pick and the best. What about it puts it in your best? Is it because of the expert level cooking involved?
Yeah. How'd you know? What I love so much about, I mean, there are multiple things. I think when I was picking my list, I was having trouble figuring out where to put in these shows, if I should put them in best or in favorite. They're really interchangeable for me, and we'll figure that out more as we go on, because I do think one of the ones in my favorite is really very artistic and well executed. But this show I had never seen. And when I first started dating my now husband, he and I were, you know, at the early stages of dating and being flirty. And I had mentioned to him that I had never seen Breaking Bad. And he was like, what? You've never seen Breaking Bad? We're going to watch it together. Let's watch it. So we watched it from start to finish, and he rewatched it with me. And it is such a poignant show in so many ways. And I think what's so fascinating about it, and part of the reason why I love it so much, is that beyond all of the incredible characters and character development throughout the show, the first season arguably sucks. Like, it is so slow and so boring, and it is all laying the foundation for the series and what's to come. And it almost didn't get renewed because of how boring season one is. But then when season two strikes, it starts to get crazy. And it's literally one of the craziest shows I have ever seen in my life.
Oh, it's out of this world. It's bonkers.
It's insane. And I'd say like two things that I definitely would love to touch on. One is a little anecdote that I think it's amazing that like Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul are still pals to this day. And like they have a mezcal company now called Dos Hombres.
Yeah.
And like,
it's pretty good. I've tried it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. It's delicious. I actually recently made a smoked mezcal blood orange margarita using their mezcal, and it was very tasty.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, that'll be coming to my channel soon. Follow along at Elena Besser. and the other thing is that if there's one episode that really stood out to me, it is the episode, I believe it's called The Fly.
Yes.
And it is a full hour of television where it is Walter White and Jesse Pinkman in a lab together, and they are spending the whole episode trying to kill this fly that is in their lab while they're making meth. And you are so invested. When you think about that concept for an episode, it's like, how do you fill an hour of time for that? And that's so boring. But the writing is so unbelievable. And the characters, you get so invested in them that it was such a great episode. They don't go anywhere. They don't really do much of anything.
Yeah. Bottle episode. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing.
Oh, that was the moment. That night, I should never have left home. Never gone to your house. But I was at home watching TV. Some nature program about elephants. And Skylar and Holly were in another room. I could hear them on the baby monitor. She was singing a lullaby. Oh, if I had just lived right up to that moment, and not one second more. That would have been perfect.
I mean, I totally know what you're saying about the fly episode. I feel like they made the smallest, most mundane moments so incredibly stressful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's like at any minute, somebody, like, I don't live my life thinking that at any minute someone is going to come and kill me. But
right.
Watching that show, I was like, something wicked this way is coming.
Yes.
And I feel it.
Yes.
And so like, true. I used to get so nervous and like watching it, I'd have to like kind of walk around. Or like I would leave the room for a second.
It gets spooky. It really does.
Well, what's interesting too is like you mentioned the episode The Fly, which, you know, Breaking Bad has been brought up a handful of times on this podcast. I think for a good reason. It's an incredible show. The Fly was kind of a polarizing episode where people either loved it or they really did not like it.
Oh, really?
I liked it a lot. Yeah. To your point, because you know, you're like, it could be viewed as slow or inert or, you know, without much action development, whatever. But the way they framed it, I thought was interesting, because even just talking about like the way they, you know, there's, you always feel like there's danger on the corner. The way Walt was so dead set on like, it is dangerous for this lab, for this fly to be flying around. It can contaminate our business. It can, you know, throw everything sideways. So even that, they kind of framed as kind of like this, we need to root out this threat to our meth empire, even though it's a tiny little fucking fly.
Definitely a good example of making sure that you don't take anything lightly when you choose to be a massive drug dealer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally never overlook a detail. Not a single one.
You can't
ever.
You can't do it.
Or else you'll get got.
Okay. Breaking Bad. Incredible first pick. What are you putting next to Breaking Bad as your second best show?
The Bear.
Okay. Let's go.
Shocking.
Yes. I know when I saw this was on your list, I was so excited to hear you talk about it because I don't think I've talked about it with anyone who is actually a chef.
Oh, yay. I'm happy to be the first.
With this one, we got to hear about kind of your restaurant experience before we dive into The Bear, which is the most kind of insidery in the kitchen restaurant located show in recent memory. So tell us a little bit about like your experience in kitchens and then how that added to your appreciation and realizing like the heights that The Bear reached in its first season.
Yeah, absolutely. So I first got into food in college. I love to, you know, cook for my friends, entertain for them. And my first job out of college actually was running the video department at a food media company that was eventually acquired by the Food Network. And I'd have these recipe ideas that I'd want to create, but I didn't know how to execute them. And ultimately, I was like, you know what? I love this so much. I'm going to go all in and I'm going to go to culinary school. So I went to culinary school. And then as part of your externship, you need to, which is like a 3-month period within culinary school in order to graduate, you have to work in a professional setting. And I thought I was going to work at a media company. And then my advisor and counselor was like, I'm going to make you work in a restaurant kitchen. I was like, okay, sure. Why not? Sounds different. And it was. So I ended up doing my externship at this incredible restaurant called Lilia in Brooklyn. And I ended up staying on there for a year and a half. I did Hotline Savory during the week. And then I ran the pastry program on the weekends. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done. And the thing that pushed me to grow in ways I could have never imagined. And I will be eternally grateful for my experience working there. However, what I will say is that seeing the bear was a really wild thing for a lot of restaurant industry professionals. And I've talked about it with several of my former coworkers and other friends that are in the industry. And a lot of feedback that we have gotten, or like at least friends and responses, people saying, like, reaching out to us and being like, I now understand. Like, I'm so sorry I wasn't as accepting of your schedule. Like, holy shit, this show makes me so anxious. No wonder why you were a recluse for this time. Like, just right. This like eye-opening thing. And it's like, oh my gosh, I feel seen. This is so incredible because it really is exposing the like grit and grime and intensity and emotional and mental distress that one can feel in that environment. And also the beauty and the addiction associated to it. It's unlike anything else. And I more specifically, if the restaurant component weren't enough with the bear, I'm born and raised in Chicago. So it was just like a double whammy of like all these Chicago references, seeing it being filmed in my hometown, like plus the restaurant culture and dynamics. It just was a while. I was like, this is a show literally made for me. Crazy. Of course, some of it, like, I mean, it's a drama at the end of the day. I guess it's considered a comedy and a drama, but like,
yeah,
some of it's definitely a bit more grandiose. And like, I'm not, when you're in Chicago and like in the area that they were in and the type of restaurant that it is, it's a bit different than the experience I had, which was more of a like hot New York City, like hard to get into celebrity filled restaurant experience that I was in.
Right.
But all in all, incredible show, such a good cast. I love that Maddie Matheson snuck in there. And I'm looking forward to seeing what season two is, because from what they've alluded to, it seems as though they're completely changing the concept of the restaurant and it's going to lean more into the fine dining experience. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, I think people that are in the restaurant industry, they are some of my favorite people I know, because they are really opinionated and have very particular ways of doing things. And sometimes, and it's a beautiful thing, and also it's a curse at times.
I mean, speaking to that, I think the moment of the bear, I love this as a best pick, because I think that, I mean, Brandy and I, we haven't done our end of the year, you know, best and favorites, but this will absolutely be in my mix. I don't know about you, Brandy, but
yeah, it's definitely in the mix.
And I think the episode that really solidified it, which we haven't mentioned yet, is episode 7, aka the one-shot episode, where, and we won't spoil, you know, the circumstances around it, but basically you enter the kitchen and the camera does not cut. It's what we call a runner. It's a 17-minute one-shot sequence that is just, I haven't seen anything like it on TV. And like that, to me, like, I've never worked in restaurants. My mom worked in restaurants for a lot of years, so I've been in restaurant kitchens, like sitting in the corner, you know, doing my homework while the guys are making meatballs and stuff. And even I was getting flashbacks, and I didn't even work in the industry. Like, it really, I think, was a super visceral, what's what I'm looking for? Like, immersive.
Mm-hmm. Incredibly immersive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I've never worked in a restaurant, and I feel like I have now.
Yeah. And I think that I'm really happy you brought that episode up, because it is unbelievable how, first of all, executing something like that's insane. So like, mad respect to the entire team for having this idea, and like, shout out to Christopher Storer for like being able to be like, you know what, here's what we are going to do on this episode, whether it was his idea or someone in the writer's room or whoever it was, but like, holy shit, their use of both camera operation, the acting was insane. And also their use of sounds and moments that happen in the kitchen as heightening each individual pressure point was insanely cool. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, when you're in a kitchen, there's fire, there's crazy sounds, it's dangerous. Yeah. There are knives, there's a lot of intensity and high pressure. And they did such an amazing job of bringing everyone into the episode and into those feelings through every little tiny opportunity that takes place in a restaurant kitchen, if I'm making much sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, you just like really made the case for why it is most definitely a best show. Like they did it the best.
They sure did.
Moving on to your favorites, Elena, what is your first favorite show?
My first favorite show is a show that I actually didn't start watching until this summer.
Okay.
It is called, I'm not sure if anyone's ever heard of it, it's called Sex and the City.
Wow, a latecomer to Sex and the City.
I mean, wow.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
So I had seen like an episode here and there, but I had never really watched it. And Xander, my husband and I, we were just like, you know what? We need to start a new show. Like he also hadn't seen it. And we were like, let's just, you know what? Let's just get after it. Let's watch it. And we turned it on. We started watching it. And oh my God, it is just such an iconic show. And living in New York City now and seeing that there has been enough time since the start of the series, like for like fashion and culture trends to come back around to today. Like it's so fun in so many ways and so relatable to what we are all living in. I mean, the Cosmopolitan is so back and better than ever. People order it all the time. And like the fashion is amazing. And I will be honest with you, as much as I wish I could say I'm like a Samantha, I am such a Charlotte. It's truly shocking.
I'm a Miranda.
I love that. It's a good one. She's a smart lady.
That's who I am. I never want to be a Carrie. Carrie's the worst friend.
She's the worst. I completely agree. She's very really self-absorbed.
Like so self-absorbed. And I can't believe that I didn't recognize that when I was watching it. Like, because I've been watching it. I'm basically in that perfect age of like, I think I was like late high school, early college when it came out. So I was just like, yes. Yes, this is how people live in New York City. I can't wait to move.
I love it.
What made it a favorite as opposed to a best or a forever? Was it in contention for anything else?
Yeah, you know, I think that it made it into favorite because, you know, I've heard people talk about it forever. And I've seen all the movies, but I had never really seen the show. So,
oh,
of course, in just like culturally, like unless you're like living under a rock in a very remote place, like everyone has an idea of what Sex and the City is and who the characters are, and they come up in other movies. I mean, one of my favorite lines in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, probably my favorite movie, is when he's at the bar and he's like, oh, I'm Samantha. So I think that the reason why I put it in is just because I never realized how connected I feel personally to that show until I watched it. And
oh, cool.
I think that there's this really beautiful experience of living in New York as a woman in your 30s and trying to just figure out how to adult. And it helped me feel, because I'm 29, and it helped me feel less insane with like the constant not knowing if you're doing things right and needing to take risks, and also just like the romance and the sexiness of living in New York and Manhattan and like being young and going out to restaurants. And like it just lit up the city in a way for me that reinvigorated my love for it and helped me fall in love with it all over again. And I think that it's cool that it was sitting there just waiting for me.
Yeah.
And the fact that I like opened up Pandora's box and found this was just like a really beautiful thing personally that I will always love.
It's like, it's always been your favorite show. You just didn't realize it, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. So what's your second favorite show going up next to Sex and the City?
Here we go. You said no shame in any pick, so here she goes.
That's right.
I'm going to say, not keeping up with the Kardashians, but The Kardashians.
Oh, okay.
On Hulu.
On Hulu. And let me tell you why.
Yes.
It actually, no, you're the host of this podcast. I got too excited. You tell me,
no,
tell you.
You tell us why. Because I went, you know, we asked our guests to send us their lists ahead of time so we could do a little prep. And you wrote The Kardashian. I'm like, she must mean Keeping Up With. So I went and changed it to Keeping Up With The Kardashians. And I was wrong. Tell me why I was wrong and why the Hulu version is better and your favorite.
Okay. So the original Keeping Up With The Kardashians was just like a, you know, following along this family who is very famous for apparently no reason. And it's the drama of family tensions and things that are happening and whatever. So like, yeah, obviously one of the first to really successfully create a reality television show that is loved by everyone. And they really are like some of the most famous individuals in America, in the world, I would argue.
Yeah, for sure.
And what I love so much about this new show on Hulu is that it is way less focused on the like dramatized bullshit nonsense that they had to create to exist on the show. And it is so much more heavily focused in on their careers to date.
And
seeing their experiences. Like, for example, the first episode of the show is Kim getting ready to host SNL. And it follows her throughout the whole experience. She talks about how she hired Michelle Wolf to write her monologue. She goes and practices her monologue with Amy Schumer.
Hey, guys. It's so great to be here hosting Saturday Night Live. I know. I'm surprised to see me here too. Mm-hmm. When they asked, I was like, you want me to host? Why? I haven't had a movie premiere in a really long time. Actually, I've only had that one movie come out and no one even told me it was premiering. It must have slipped my mom's mind.
Wait, what was the movie?
My sex tape.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Great.
But the joke on the internet was that like my mom had to, she's my manager, she had to broker. And there's a lot of like, kind of sex tape drama happening now where like people are saying that maybe there's a little bit more from 20 years ago.
Is there a part of you that's like, let's get that out? Because it probably is pretty hot.
Of course, it also is like wildly lavish and they live in amazing homes and they wear the craziest outfits and have epic cars and like that and throw insane parties that are just like not realistic to anyone, which is so fun to watch. Yeah. However, the actual career element of it is what draws me to the show. And on top of that, I almost put it in the best shows when I was saying earlier, like, oh, these kind of flipped around because the Kardashians is filmed so well. Like the camera work on the show is really impressive and they do a lot of really interesting aerial filming and a lot of like fun sped up, slowed down from the perspective of the person. And I also am a big fan of confessional style shows. I think like throwing in a cool, like really soft focus confessional moment that's filmed at a different time is just like, there's something about that that I j'adore. And I'm actually currently working on a YouTube series where I'm integrating confessionals into it.
Get out. I love that.
And it's all inspired by the Kardashians. So
that's
think it's such a great, I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Look, you just got me to maybe watch the first episode of that. Like I kind of gave up the Kardashians probably around like 2009. Because I did watch it at the beginning back when Kylie and Kendall were children.
Yeah, and before they got all that work done.
Yeah, but I'm interested in checking it out just like to kind of see what's going on. Because I feel like I'm a person that like kind of discounts the Kardashians when, I mean, they kind of know what's up.
They really do.
They know exactly what's up.
It's funny too, because there were a couple moments where like, so my husband and I, we both work from home. We're both like, we both run our own businesses. And at times, like at the end of, since we're together all the time, it's like, okay, I'm going to put a show on. And then one time he came home and I was watching the Kardashians and I was like, just watch. He's like, oh, you're watching this. Oh, do I have to watch it? And I was like, you don't have to do anything. Like you can go watch whatever you want. But then he stayed and he was watching it. And then I was like, looking and he was like very invested in it. And he's like, I'm like, do you want me to change it after one episode? He was like, no, you can keep it on. It's fine. We can keep watching it. So you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Elena, let's jump to your forevers. What is your first forever show?
It's so generic, but I just have to be honest with myself. It's Friends.
Oh, sure.
You know?
It's a great forever pick.
It's fucking great.
Always good. Friends is the show that I'll put on when I'm on a flight and I finished a movie and I have just a little more time to kill. And what am I going to watch? It's always Friends. It always is.
I mean, I've seen it through on repeats growing up. It's my mom's favorite show. Like, maybe a dozen times. And I laugh every time.
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah.
I remember when it used to be on growing up, I don't even remember what time it would be, but I have very vivid memories of like laying in bed with my mom in her bedroom watching Friends. Yeah. And like during like sexy parts and I was younger, she'd be like, put the covers over your head. And I'd be like, is it over yet? So just like, those memories, I think, will always be very fond to me. And then, and also, you know, it was cool being able to see a character, a female chef in Monica.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's right.
I really identified with her. And I think like in a subtle way, you know, she's a control freak. I am as well. My cousin sitting over there nodding her head in agreement. And I think that for me, I was like, oh, she's like a fun, cool, control freak kind of gal, just like myself. And she works in the food world. And maybe subconsciously, it pushed me closer to the direction of where I ended up.
Wow. That's right. They did have some good food storylines. Like, who is the reviewer who came stoned?
I think we're ready for our first course. Okay, these are rock shrimp ravioli and a cilantro ponzu sauce with just a touch of minced. Ginger.
Well, smack my ass and call me Judy.
These are fantastic.
Oh, gosh. I'm so glad you like them.
Like them? I could eat 100 of them.
Oh, well, that's all there is of these. But in about 8.5 minutes, we'll be serving some delicious onion tartlets.
Tartlets? Tartlets. Tartlets. Word has lost all meaning.
Okay, Friends, classic. We've gotten that. I think we had it earlier this season. I think Ian Lara picked Friends as a forever show. So you're in good company. What are you putting up next to Friends as your second forever show?
We're taking a trip to Flavortown.
Let's
my
go.
Guys. Triple D, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, baby.
Wow.
Do you know that this was this is on my almost list?
No way. Mm-hmm. A good one.
I can watch it whenever.
Literally whenever, however, wherever. Forever.
It's like, oh, is there nothing on TV? Let me see if Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives is on or House Hunters.
Yes. Two classics. Great choices. I love.
We can't talk about Triple D without talking about the man, the myth, the legend. Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri.
What a man.
Elena, have you had the pleasure and the privilege of meeting and interacting with Guy in your career yet?
Unfortunately, no. And it's such a bummer because I know we'd be best friends.
I think so, too. You have very similar energy.
Honestly, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. Thank you, Dan. No, I've like met all the other big ones. And he is the one that he's the one that got away.
He remains elusive. Wow.
He does.
Hasn't dropped a pin on Flavortown yet for you.
No. But what I will say is that the first food-focused thing I ever did, I did a show the first time that I was like, oh, I could, instead of being an actor, be a food television personality. And when I was in college, I started a show called, and I got my friend, who now is a documentary producer at CNN, to film me. And it was called Elena Eats Evanston, Triple E, baby. And I was Guy, but I was myself. And it was basically exactly Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, but we were in Evanston, Illinois, where I was at college at Northwestern.
Do you have any stand? I mean, there's been literally hundreds and hundreds of episodes, and that's the draw of a Forever show, mm-hmm. right? Is it's a vibe that you love. You get the experience of food and the afterlife, which is great. Is there a restaurant, a moment, a dish? Like when you think of Triple D, what pops into your head? Like, is there a food? Is there a dish? Is there a place? Is there a moment that you think of?
You know, it's interesting you say that because they do eventually like all blend together.
Right.
I think that there isn't necessarily a specific moment or place that I think of, but what I do think about is just the brilliance of the simplicity of the format of the show. And mm-hmm. I think that Guy is the perfect example of being just a standalone talent that is so unbelievably interesting to watch and pay attention to. And I think that his ability, I mean, he got this show because he was the second winner of the reality show Food Network Star.
Oh, yeah.
And he did the whole process of like learning to be a talent and figuring out what his niche was and all of those things. And then he came up with this concept that is the most successful concept, probably one of the most successful food shows of all time, like next to like Parts Unknown or Bizarre Foods.
It's like, truly, it's infuriating how successful it is. Like Brandon and I both work at Unscripted TV. Elena, you know this, we've developed shows together and the bar is so, you can't pitch Food Network a food travel show because the bar is like, well, is it going to rate as well as a rerun of Triple D? No, it will not. Mm-hmm. They never will. The bar is so high. It makes me really mad. But it speaks to how good the show is and how well it's done and how well received it is.
Yeah, it's true.
And that all audiences will tune in for this.
Yeah. Everyone will. He's so relatable.
Kids will watch it. My husband watches it. My dad watches it. My mom watches it. Like, you put it on, everybody knows what's up.
Yeah.
My dad specifically only wants to go to restaurants that Guy's been to.
I mean, I get it. Your dad's a smart man. I think that, like, it's just amazing. I've taken a lot of, whenever I watch these shows, I think that, like, the two people that I have tried, that I've learned the most from on food television are Guy and Rachel Ray. Mm-hmm. And part of it is that I've seen their shows so many times that I've really studied the ways in which they're able to conduct themselves, how they describe food, how they make other people feel that are on the show with them. And I'll never forget like how Guy, he talks about how when he takes a bite of food, he tucks it to the side of his, he'll like take a bite and then he'll take the leftover food and tuck it to the side of his cheek so that he can keep talking and finish up his intro or whatever he's saying. And I've used that myself many a times. And I just think his lingo's absolutely hilarious. Out of bounds. It's out of bounds. And I love traveling to Flavortown whenever I can.
Flavortown's a great place to be.
It is.
Wow. What a criteria, Elena. This is.
Thanks, guys.
It feels like you on a list of mm-hmm. TV shows, which is what we aspire to do.
Well, look, to recap, Breaking Bad and The Bear are the best shows that Elena Besser has ever seen. Sex and the City and The Kardashians, not Keeping Up With, but The Kardashians on Hulu, are her favorite shows of all time. And she would watch Friends and Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives forever, aka living in Flavortown for eternity.
Incredible criteria. I love it so much. But Elena, before we sign off, we have a quick lightning round that we did not tell you about.
I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous. You're going to do great. It's made specifically for you. So for this, we do a mini BFF where we ask you to choose a best favorite in Forever and a surprise category.
I thought you were going to do like trivia about those shows. And I'm like, I'm going to lose. I'm so bad at trivia. It's horrifying.
You're so bad at lightning rounds.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. So because it is a lightning round, you only need to choose one pick for each. So one best, one favorite, one forever. It's the holiday season, which is a pretty boozy time when this episode comes out. And in honor of your incredible series, Boozing with Besser, we have to know, what is your best favorite in Forever cocktails?
Wow. Okay. My best cocktail.
And this could be the best one that you make or the best one that you've had, your favorite one to make, you know, and then the last one would be like, what could you drink forever?
I'm going to go with for best cocktail. It's a newer one. The Last Word cocktail.
The Last Word. What is that?
Okay. So it is equal parts gin, green chartreuse, Luxardo maraschino, cherry liqueur, and lime juice. And it is so delicious. I'm not a gin person, and I love this cocktail. And the garnish is a Luxardo cherry, and I always prefer a drink that has a garnish that's a snack.
Yeah, same.
And it's this like really stunning light green color, and it's served shaken, and it's has this like sex appeal. It's beautiful. It's fun to drink. It's a different flavor profile, but it's also very simple.
Yeah. Anytime you say equal parts, I'm like, got it. I can make that one.
Right?
I can great. Do that.
Right?
Exactly. Great best. And it's one I've never heard of. So great pick. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite cocktail?
My favorite cocktail is probably a mezcal Negroni.
Oh my God. Okay. I love a mezcal anything. I've been obsessed with the mezcal Manhattan recently, but a mezcal Negroni, very good as well.
I just love Negronis.
Negronis are so tasty. Another equal parts drink.
My father-in-law makes the best ones.
They're so good. They're loaded with sugar. So I try to have them on special occasions so that I can also have dessert. Yeah, but it's just such a good drink. And the smokiness of the mezcal is a really fun complement to the bitter Campari and the vermouth.
Two great picks. I love it. To round it out, what is your forever cocktail? What could you drink forever?
I'm trying to... there are two that I'm thinking of. One isn't even really a cocktail. One's just Reposado tequila on the rocks with an orange.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's very delicious because Reposado is really having a moment. I learned a ton about it this summer when I did this event series with Patron. And what's cool about Reposado is I'm definitely a tequila person. I love the fact that tequila is an upper and like just like a fun, fun spirit.
Is Reposado the one that it's a little bit, that's like the gold and it's a little bit more aged and has like a vanilla-y type vibe
to it? Well said. Very nice. So yeah, it's aged in oak barrels, which gives it a little bit of a toastier flavor, some vanilla notes. It's more rounded. I think it's a lot less sharp and intense to enjoy. So
it is a much better rocks drink. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. And then I also really love a martini.
Classic. Mm. Yeah.
Just like a classic martini?
A dirty vodka martini with extra olives. Because, of course, I would like my garnish to be a snack.
Yeah.
Probably why I like martinis so much.
Like the original garnish as a snack drink, really. Mm-hmm.
This is great. I'm going to make the Last Word tonight after I finish this Manhattan that I currently am working on right
now.
I'm
gonna, perfect.
Well, actually, no, I can't do that. I don't have any of those ingredients, but I do have the ingredients for mezcal Negroni, so maybe I'll do that one instead.
Do it.
Well, I want to go and buy Reposado. I'm really excited to taste that.
Yay.
With that, thank you so much, Elena. It's a wrap on this episode of TV BFFs.
Thank you so much, Brandy and Dan. Your show's awesome. Thank you for having me on. I'm honored. And this was a really fun change of pace. It's nice to be able to have a moment to just chat about things that bring you joy. So thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate you
coming.
All.
And Elena, where can we find you? What are you up to?
Oh, yeah. Follow along at Elena Besser on all social channels. You could find me on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. There's a lot of fun content coming out in the new year on YouTube. So definitely stay tuned for that.
Yay. And please also rate, review, subscribe, and check us out on Instagram or at TVBFF Podcast, or you can email us at TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. Please, we would love to hear from you all. Leave us a review. It helps us, you know, get more listeners, which we always love. And reach out to us and send us your six. We want to know your top six shows of all time, where they fall in your own personal BFF criteria. So send us your picks. We'll share our favorites. And until next time, goodbye, friends.
Bye, friends.
You've arrived here at a critical moment.